Definitely for the record.
All
right. Okay, you're live.
Okay. All right. Welcome everybody to Soldiers for Christ Wednesday night Bible study. I have with me Misty Saylor, who joined the army, but they'll get it later. Okay. And so we're going to have our prayers in, and then we will get started. Praise God.
Praise God.
Okay.
Lord Almighty Father, we just thank you for this time that you've given us, Father, to come and to worship you, and Father, to read of your word. Father, we pray and ask that you would just anoint Pastor Sandy right now, Father, to give exactly what it is that you would have each and every one of us to hear tonight, Father, that you would water that ground of our heart, Father, that seed would sprout, Father, that we would be able to understand and go deeper into your word, Father, and understand more about what it is that you would have us to hear and to understand during this time that we're going through. Father, we thank you right now for each and every person represented here, and we thank you, Father, that our ears are open to hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Don't leave, Misty. Okay. Where are you from?
From close to Nashville, Hendersonville, Tennessee.
Hendersonville, Tennessee.
That's right.
And who's the extremely handsome guy that's sitting out there?
That is my wonderful husband of 26 years, Jeffrey. Jeffrey Saylor.
And my son,
Zachary.
And Zachary Saylor. Zachary will probably grow up to join the army too. They're all sailors now. Thank you for coming. I appreciate it.
God bless you.
Thank you for praying. 20, they got married the same, they got married what, 15 days before we did.
Really?
Same year, same month, 15 days earlier.
Wow.
Yeah. God was on it. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord, all of our S4C family. I really do appreciate you guys. I'm mad at some of you guys, and I'll tell you why in a minute. And because some of you guys had me asking myself, why everybody asking me about 3 days of darkness? That was some YouTube thing from 2017. Everybody's asking me, what about the 3 days of darkness? You think it's gonna come back? I'm like, no, that was a joke back then, and it's still a joke. There's nowhere in the Bible that says right before the rapture there'll be 3 days of darkness. So someone sent me the video, and it's some guy saying, the Lord woke me up at 4 a.m. and he told me that there's going to be 3 days of darkness starting. He even gave him the days when it's going to start and when it's going to end. And he said, and the Lord just wants everybody to be ready. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. I'm like, because if there's going to be 3 days of darkness, we would know exactly when the rapture is. We just go.
Right. 3 days.
3 days later, we're getting raptured, right? So I'm like, it's not true, but I didn't know it was somebody who had actually pulled that lie back up and was using it. And he got a lot of hits. And, you know, me and Pastor Ben were doing this a long time. We recently discovered monetization, right?
Exactly.
Which is, but people start YouTube ministries because if they can build up a thing, YouTube will send them a check.
Yep.
So they need God's permission to preach the gospel. They just need to build up their form.
Yep.
Okay. So you guys be careful. If it doesn't line up with scripture, it's not true. Okay. Wow.
3 days.
If somebody tells you that Israel is going to be destroyed and they're going to be kicked out of their land again, it's a lie because it's unbiblical. You understand?
Amen.
So just stick with the Bible. I'm going to be doing some teaching tonight, and I'm doing it because I want to talk about our rapture opportunities. And there are two standing before us. The first one is next month is the month of Iyar in Israel. And Iyar is the second month of the year. So in the second month, on the 17th day, the flood began.
Mm-hmm.
That's my first, but it would fall out of line with the wheat harvest. So I'm not putting a lot of weight on that, but it sounds good. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, since it sounds good, I'm holding on to it. Now, the next thing that we need to be looking at is the wheat harvest. And the wheat harvest is very important because God has already scheduled the resurrections. The resurrections are already scheduled. There is a barley harvest that just happened to leave exactly when the barley harvest was supposed to leave. Right after Christ resurrected, during the Feast of First Fruit, all the Old Testament saints came out of the ground and they went into the holy city, right?
Right.
So there's one harvest of resurrected souls that have already left. You guys know this, right? Praise God.
Amen.
Okay. So if one harvest of resurrected souls have already left, and they left on the exact date that the Bible said, because he said three times a year you will present your harvest before God, where he tells you. It'll be at the Feast of First Fruits, it'll be at Pentecost, and then it'll be at Tabernacles. So three times a year, the world, well, Israel is harvesting the field, and they harvest the barley, and then they harvest the wheat, then they harvest the fruit in the fall at the end of the year, and then on the Feast of Tabernacle, they come together and they celebrate for 7 days that all of the harvest has now been brought into the kingdom of God. But all of the harvest has now been filled, right? So the world has only experienced one harvest. And that harvest is in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50, and read to the end, and you'll see. Because that was a weird thing. Someone asked me about that too. They said, I read this, and they said, right after Jesus came out of the grave, all the Old Testament saints who were asleep, it says the tombs broke open, and they came out of the tombs and went into the holy city and were seen amongst many. And they're like, Pastor, what is this? So I explained it to her. I was on the phone and I explained it to her. And I said, that was the first harvest. And I said, God had already scheduled it because he told you in Deuteronomy 16:16, the first time you come to with your harvest will be first fruits. So it left exactly in the time it's supposed to. So, as we're looking for all these rapture dates, we forget the one thing. The resurrections are scheduled, okay? The resurrections are scheduled. The harvest is scheduled, okay? The wheat harvest belongs to Christ. It is Christ who is the one who is going to gather his wheat harvest into the barn. But we want to talk about tonight the fruit harvest. Hey, Barb. We're going to talk about the fruit harvest. And we're going to see when the fruit harvest happens, okay? Because if the fruit harvest, see, in the book of Revelation, it tells you when the last harvest comes in. So you can know what time of year the last harvest is going to come in. The last harvest of resurrected souls are going to come in the fall, and then it's going to show you that it's a fruit harvest, okay? I was telling you Sunday, the name Israel and fruit have the same numerical value. So God didn't want you to be confused that Israel is not the fruit harvest. Because as soon as I said that, someone, no, I don't think Israel's the fruit harvest, I think Israel's the barley harvest. I'm like, 541 Israel, 541 fruit. This is what God does. You know what I mean? He goes, okay, check the numbers. If the numbers aren't right, then it's not right, okay? So check the numbers. You want to make a Star of David? You want to make the 10th Star of David? It's going to take 541 units to make the 10th Star of David, because everything about Israel, the 10 commandments, 541. Everything about Israel is going to be 541. So if someone doesn't believe me, I just go check the numbers and then come back to me and then you'll know, okay?
Right.
So Israel is the fruit harvest, okay? But God will tell you that if we read enough right here, okay? We're going to start off on page Yeah, on page 5. So flip your, I think Pastor has the pages in red there on your left-hand corner. So I want you to go to page 5. And then I want you to go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verse 1 through 7.
Hallelujah. Can I turn it off, Pastor Ben?
Did you want to turn it off?
No, I didn't want to turn it off. I wanted to stop it from moving. I wanted to be right there.
Hit them.
This button right there makes it stop. Okay. You already did it, okay?
Okay. Okay, now, are you in the book of Isaiah? Are you in chapter 5? Wow. See, I got all these cards. I didn't even read my cards, Pastor Ben. You didn't keep me. Shauna Randall, she sent me a card from South Portland, Maine. Wow. And, oh, this is Israel and Yini. And I heard their kid's song, new rap song. It's really good. Yeah, it's really good. And Deborah LeBron, and she is from Florida. I have to read them tomorrow during Hebrew class, because I was so ready to get started with tonight's Bible study. Okay, are you in Isaiah chapter 5? Here we go. We're going to start here. It says, I will sing, blah, 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 blah. Wait a minute, 5, 1 through 7. Yes, okay. It says, I will sing for the one I love, a song about the vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard. It says, had a vineyard on a fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now, you dwellers in Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could I have done for my vineyard? More for my vineyard than I have done. It says, when I looked for good grapes, why did it yield only bad ones? Now I will tell you what I am going to do with my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it will be destroyed. I will break down its walls, and it will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated. Briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. And he looked for justice, but he saw bloodshed; for righteousness, but heard cries of distress. Okay, so this vineyard has been planted by God, and he's using this symbol of the nation of Israel. Israel is my vineyard. They're my grape harvest. I cultivated these people. I dug them out a place to be. I built a wine press. He says, and everything that I did for it, all this vineyard produced was not good grapes, sour grapes, it would say in some translation. Here it says bad fruit, which is what it produced. All they produced was bad, even after God had been so much in love with them and hewn out this beautiful vineyard. And so God says, well, okay, so since Israel never produced any good fruit that I wanted, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take down the hedge that's around it, the protection, right? And he says, I'm going to allow the enemies to come and trample it. Then he says, as a matter of fact, he doesn't say someone else is going to come live in the land, because if you know anything about Israel, nobody was there for a long time. He says it's going to become a dry, wasted land. He says only briars and thorns will grow there. Okay? And I will command the clouds not to rain on it. Check that history. See how long it took before it rained in Israel after God kicked the Jews out of the land. It was a dry desert wasteland. Now you go to Israel's most, you know, fruitful place ever. But then it was just dry desert wasteland. Nobody even wanted to go there. So now he says, this is what I'm going to do to my vineyard. So the vineyard is what? A grapevine, right? We're talking about a grape vineyard, and we're talking about God saying, these are the people that I was in love with, okay? So now I want you to go to Revelation chapter 14. I really want Soldier for Christ and all of the people who watch Soldiers for Christ to have a higher level of understanding of Scripture. Because it's not difficult. It's just understanding the structure of what God's doing, okay? So, I'm thinking about starting. I am going to start. I'm going to start at chapter 14, verse 1. It says, then I looked, and there before me. Now, John is talking, right? He said, then I looked, and there before me was the Lamb standing on Mount Zion with him 144,000, who had his name and his Father's name written on their foreheads. So where's the 144,000? They're not on earth anymore. They're on Mount Zion in heaven. How did they get there? Right? Because we know they chose them on the earth, 12,000 from each tribe of Israel. And now we see that they're in heaven. Okay, let's look at this. It says, and with him 144,000 with his name and his Father's name written on their forehead. And I heard a sound from heaven like the roaring, rushing water and like a loud peal of thunder. The sound I heard was like the harpists playing their harps, and they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. No one could learn the song except 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. So the 144,000 are now in heaven. Okay, this is where the Jehovah Witness go. See, they're the best 144,000 Jehovah Witness. No, these are 12,000 Jews, right? Because someone came to my door and I said, well, what tribe are you from then? She didn't even know the tribes, right? So I'm like,
from the Detroit division.
Yeah, it's Detroit. Yeah. But I'm saying, the Bible tells you, though. This is the wonderful thing about the Bible. It tells you who they are. We don't have to sit and guess who the 144, 12,000 from each tribe of Israel, okay? If you're from Detroit and you say you're part of the 144,000, I'm going to say you're not. Because unless you can tell me what tribe you're from, right? Okay. So, it says, these are those who did not defile themselves with women, for they kept themselves pure. They followed the Lamb wherever he goes. They were purchased from among men and offered as a, listen to this, and they were offered as a first fruit to God and the Lamb. No lie was found in their mouth. They are blameless. So they go up first, just as Christ went up first, as a symbol of a first fruit offering of the nation of Israel. And so now the 144,000 are in heaven. Okay? Now, in verse 6, it says, then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who lived on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. Now, who was it that said, when the gospel is preached throughout the whole world, then the Lord will come, right? That's in the Gospels. What was he talking about? This. So if you're watching TBN and they need an extra $20,000 to reach the whole world, you're not trying to help bring back anything because they're trying to get the gospel to the whole world so the Lord can come back. That's not their job.
Right.
This is going to be the job of angels at the end of the tribulation who are going to go throughout the world preaching the gospel to every nation, every tribe, and every language. Then the end will come. So now we know, once we see this, the end is about to come. Okay? Let's continue. He said in a loud voice, fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. That means Jesus is about to come back. Mm-hmm. Worship him who made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and the springs of water. A second angel followed and said, fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, which made all the nation drink of the maddening of her adultery. And, well, it says adultery here, but I crossed it out because actually it's the word in Greek for fornication. So it says, they made him drink the maddening of her fornication. And the third angel followed them and said in a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast or his image or receives his mark on his forehead or in his hand, he too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured full strength in the cup of wrath. He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels of the Lord, of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment will rise up forever. There is no rest day or night for those who worship the beast and his image, or for anyone who receives the mark of his name. Now, if you hear the angel say that, I don't care what you was thinking about first. I mean, I would personally think if an angel's flying through the sky and he says, don't take the mark. I'm like, what'd you say? Now, and he says, if you do, you will burn day and night in sulfur and there'll be no forgiveness for you. I'd be like, okay, I ain't taking the mark, right? Believe in it now, and they're preaching the gospel. You're like, oh man. So now we know how so many ended up in heaven, right, in white gowns,
right,
at the end of the tribulation.
Yeah.
We'll read about that. Let's continue. Okay. Now it says, then I heard the voice from heaven say, right, blessed are those that are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, said the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. Verse 14, I've been waiting to get here, but you have to understand that the first fruit already went up. Now let's watch this. I looked, and there before me was a white cloud. When's the first time we heard about a cloud? That was in Thessalonians, right? Here's the big Christian argument. The rapture's at the end. No, the rapture's before the tribulation. No, the rapture's at the end of the tribulation. Well, here it is. He's coming down on a cloud. Watch this. I looked, and there before me was a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was one like a son of man. That's Jesus. With a crown of gold on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Stop there, because now you got to examine the scripture. When he comes down on the cloud in Thessalonians, there's no crown on his head. and he doesn't have a sickle in his hand, but he comes down in the cloud and he doesn't have a crown in his head. When did he get the crown? Revelation chapter what? Was that 4 or 5? Where they take off their crowns and they throw them at his feet, and they're having a coordination service where? In heaven. So when he comes back, he's already reigned as king for 7 years and 6 months. But now when he comes back to harvest what? The tribulation saints, those who are confessing Christ, who have a testimony for Jesus, who did not take the mark. And he comes down, and this is what happens. Watch this. Okay, I looked, and there before me was a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was one like the Son of Man, with a crown of gold on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Another angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, "Take your sickle," he says to Jesus, "and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe." So he who was seated on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. You see that? So that means that, first of all, he has this sickle, and it's, I can't, without doing a word thing, it's specifically used for a fruit harvest, right? Because in the gospel, he says Jesus is coming with his winnowing fork to take the harvest into the barn, right? But here it says he comes with a sickle to cut the fruit and to harvest the fruit, right? So this is a fruit harvest. So if you don't know yet it's a fruit harvest, check this out. So he says, and the earth was harvested, right? So here's all these saints, and they're called tribulation saints. Here are all these saints, and they go up to heaven at the end of the tribulation. And how far is the tribulation now going to be? Do you know? 10 days. You ever heard of 10 days of awe? Not like 3 days of darkness. 10 days of awe is from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. So what kind of rapture is this? A Rosh Hashanah rapture. But it happens when? At the end of the tribulation. Then the last of feast days get fulfilled. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Tabernacle, then everybody will be in camp, right? So everything's been planned out by God, and now you see this Rosh Hashanah rapture is happening in what we call September, or what they call Tishri, okay? So here's a harvest happening in the fall, and it's a fruit harvest. Let's see what happens with the rest of the fruit, because the good fruit just left. And it says another angel came out, I'm in verse 17, another angel came out of the temple in heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. Still another angel who had charge of the fire came from the altar and called in a loud voice to him who had the sickle, "Take your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of grapes from the earth's vine, because its grapes are ripe." The angel swung, it's not Jesus this time, the angel swung the sickle on the earth and gathered its grapes and threw them into the great winepress of God's wrath. So they're not getting harvested for good. They're getting harvested. Why? Because these are the ones that did take the mark and who did worship the beast, right? So we have this fruit harvest that is going on, and it's in chapter 14 of the book of Revelation. And the good fruit has been taken. Now the bad fruit is being judged. And in verse 20, it says, "They were trampled in the winepress outside of the city, and the blood flowed out of the press, rising as high as the horse's bridle for a status, for a distance of 1,600 stadia," which I don't know the full measurement of that, but someone told me it's about from here to Texas. Okay? So,
wow.
We have a harvest that just took place here. And we missed something. There was an angel in charge of the fire where? In heaven. Where we get that understanding from? Because when Jesus Christ comes back in chapter 24 of Matthew, what does he tell him? Then you will see the Son of God coming on a cloud. Okay? Now, how does this cloud get created? Where does this cloud come from? They take the incense from the altar in the temple in heaven, and they pour it on the fire, and it creates a cloud. This is not just any cloud. This has been created from heaven for Jesus to come back. Now, why is the cloud created?
It'll kill everybody.
That's right. Because the first time two guys just walked in to the Holy of Holies, hey, let's go talk to God.
Yeah.
no cloud was there was nothing to hide them from the very presence of God. And so they both fell dead. So God said, we need to have a meeting. He says, tell the people, when you come into the Holy of Holies, take the incense, put it on the fire, and create a cloud, because my presence sits in the Holy of Holy on the mercy seat. And so from that day on, they understood that they could not just walk in. There had to be a cloud. So the purpose of the cloud is to be able to protect people who he wants to protect, because he has to come back and rescue Israel, and to be able to destroy those who he wants to destroy. Okay? But we understand that this is a what? The vine, the vineyard harvest. This is the fruit harvest. Okay? So the fruit harvest is at the end of the tribulation, and the fruit harvest is in the fall. It's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Then when Christ lands on earth on Yom Kippur, then 5 days later, what do they celebrate? The Feast of Tabernacles. Amen. And they celebrate for 7 days, and then they celebrate for an additional eighth day. And guess who's at that party? All the saints. The barley harvest is there. Because remember, when he comes back with who?
His saints.
All of his saints. It doesn't just say a few or just the church. Everybody comes back. Heaven wasn't made for man. Earth was made for man. So everybody comes back. It's okay. You're leaving heaven, but the King of Kings is still with you. He's going back to earth too, to set up a reign for 1,000 years for the saints to live. Okay? And so that is the fruit harvest. Now, here, let me do this before. Okay, let's go to chapter 15, sorry.
What book are you in?
I'm in Revelation still, chapter 15. Now watch this. It says, now all these people that are in heaven, he says, I saw in heaven another great and marvelous sign, 7 angels with 7 last plagues. Last because with them God's wrath is complete. I saw what looked like the sea of glass. When's the first time we saw the sea of glass? In the beginning of the tribulation. The saints were, the 7 candlesticks were standing on what? A sea of glass. Clear as crystal, all at peace. Listen to this. And I saw what looked like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and standing beside the sea, those who had been victorious over the beast. That means they came in through the tribulation, right? Now they're in heaven. Who had been victorious over the beast and his image and over the number of his name. They held harps given them by God and sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. So they're singing Hebrew songs and they're singing Gentile songs. Okay? But they came out of the tribulation. Now, if you go back to Revelation chapter 7, you see a multitude in heaven, and they all have on white gowns. And you say, and he comes to him, he says, these from every nation, tribe, and language, who are they and where did they come from? And what does he say?
These are they
who have come out of the great tribulation. So a lot of people are going to get saved out of the tribulation, mostly because they saw you disappear. A lot of them don't. I didn't believe at first, but Mama used to talk. But when she disappeared in front of me, I went and got my Bible right away. You know, because there's something that's driving them in this tribulation. Because you got people that are saying, I'd rather get my helmet chopped off than take it. There are people who would rather die than take the mark or worship the beast during the tribulation. Where are they getting this boldness from? They saw us disappear. They got, oh my God. Now it's like, oh my God, it's true. Now, toward the end of the tribulation, you got this angel flying around preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ooh. And you got another angel telling him, if you take the mark, you're done. So nobody wants the mark now. So everybody's confessing Jesus and saying, get us out of here. They're seeing a lot in the tribulation. You got to remember, the angels have a war with Michael and his angels, and the angels that are in the second heaven get kicked down to earth.
Yes, mad.
They're living among Nephilim. When they say, how long to you avengers what are they called? The inhabitants of the earth. And then we looked up the word inhabitants. What is it? What the inhabitants was?
Nephilim.
Those who had been cast down to the earth. So the inhabitants aren't always just human. The inhabitants are those who have been cast down. Okay. So I just want you to know that the fruit harvest is coming in the fall. So now, when did the Old Testament harvest come in? Okay, let's go back to Matthew. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 27.
Tent was ready.
Huh? Yeah, But we're going to talk about something more important than that. Now watch this. It's 27. Okay, now I want to ask you the question, because if you don't know, the Lord's like telling me today, if they don't understand, Satan's just gonna take away everything you spoke. Because understanding is most important. Okay? Because if you hear something and you don't understand it, it leaves.
Yeah.
If you hear something and you get it, it stays and you can teach it to someone else, right?
Right.
Okay. I'm going to, now, in Deuteronomy 16:16, he says, every male is to appear before me in the place where I tell them, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost, and at the Feast of Tabernacles, which is after the Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, then Tabernacles, right? So he says, three times a year, you are to appear. And it says, you cannot come empty-handed. That means you have to bring some of your harvest with you when you come, right? So there are, these three times have been set throughout history. First fruit. Now when is first fruit? Right after Jesus resurrects, right? When Jesus resurrects, it's like it's first fruit. He presents himself before God. God approves of the first fruit. The first fruit is the first resurrected man. God approves. And he says, okay, now bring in the rest of the harvest. So now, after Jesus resurrects, then all the Old Testament saints says, hey, we've been waiting in paradise a long time, and we've been asking the question, how long do we have to be here in Abraham's bosom in the middle of earth? This is not heaven. We've heard about the Messiah coming. That's why it's important to read some other books, but it's dangerous, because if you don't know the 66, you'll mess yourself up.
Right.
But in one of the apocryphal books, all the saints that were sitting in the Abraham's bosom was saying, how long do we have to be here before we get to go to heaven? When is the Messiah coming? It says day after day, they asked those same questions. And then when Christ resurrected, he said, he who ascended first descended into the lower parts of the earth and led captivity captive. He took up all the saints and brought them out of the graves and out of Sheol. Now, Christ resurrects first, then they all come out and they go into the holy city. Okay? So, okay, I'm in 27 of Matthew, and I am in verse 50, okay? And it says, and when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, a curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rock split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs and they came out of the tomb after Jesus' resurrection. They went into the holy city and appeared before many. You see that? So there was a resurrection there. When did it happen? Feast of First Fruits. When did Deuteronomy say to bring the first harvest in? Feast of First Fruits. When does the Bible say bring the second harvest in? Pentecost. So that's why Pentecost, after the 6,000th year, after the 120th year, this is some serious times the church is living in. I'm not sitting here trying to guess about things. I'm sitting here amazed about things because I'm like, it's right in front of us. We're leaving soon. I'm not confused. I am like amazed that all this is right in front of us. I can't believe it. And I'm like, Lord, I did that whole message on 1948, just showing the world how God set up 1948. I feel like making a board, go down to the beach, but the Lord said, don't throw pearls before swine. You got to at least talk to him about Jesus first, right?
Right.
I mean, trying to explain 1948, it's like, yeah, us Buddhists, we in 1948, you got to talk to people about Jesus. And sometimes you got to be wise, okay? I'm telling people, I never, never go, you need Jesus because the rapture's coming. Gospel first, okay?
Right.
So, the next harvest is about to happen, okay? The next harvest is about to happen, and that harvest is the church. This has been an incredible calling. When I typed Pastor Ben today, I said, still having fun. Because I am like amazed at everything God has shown me. Because this started, 17 years ago, right? A little bit over. And God is like, I want you to see something. I want you to see 6,000 years in the Bible. It's completely marked out. And he goes through this count with me of 6,000 years in the Bible. Then in the 1948th year, you got the birth of, you don't have the birth of Abraham, but the beginning of Abraham's dad having children in 1948. And then the Lord said, see, you're in perfect time. Keep going. And so I'm still just going through the count, and it ends at 2017. And I went, wait a minute. Israel was rebirthed in 1948. I've been telling everybody 2018. He said, yeah, well, you were wrong. So I'm like, 2017? And so I just, you know, I'm out of obedience, I'm teaching this, but now I'm in the office and God says, read Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 through 7. And as I'm reading Revelation chapter 20, 1 through 7, it says 1,000 years. And when I get to verse 7, it says 1,000 year 6 times. And he says, okay, now what chapter are you reading from? 20. What year? 2017. Wait a minute, this is what you showed me back in 2003. 6,000 years is 2017. Remember, Jesus says, after the sixth day, they went up on the mountain. After the 6,000th year, they went up on the mountain and Jesus revealed himself. You understand? So we have to understand that what God has written, he has made it clear and put out a pattern that's clear so that we can see it. So because Pastor Ben knows, I was like, God is not going to work on his Sabbath. I said, we are done in 2010, because then you only got 17 years. You only got 7 years left for the tribulation. And God is not going to work on his Sabbath. And so I started reading, and then I come to a portion where Jesus says, the Pharisees are trying to condemn Jesus for things he was doing on the Sabbath. And he says, my Father's working, and I am working too, right? Meaning that me and my Father are one, and we're working. It's not our Sabbath. Our Sabbath is the 1,000-year millennium, right? But to understand that Jesus had agreed to work an additional 7 years to get a second bride, since he already had Leah, now he wants Rachel. And so he agrees in that typology that I'm going to work an additional 7 years to get the second bride. And I said, Pastor Ben, Jesus agreed to work 7 more years past the 6,000. He already worked his work week. Mm-hmm. And they gave him Leah.
Yeah.
Who? A beautiful woman who had 7 children. Sounds like who? The church. Then he says, well, I want the original one that I wanted. And he says, well, for another additional 7 years, if you work another 7 years, we'll give you that one too. So he worked an additional 7 years to get Israel or Rachel, right? So God is like, I'm laying it out. I'm showing you what I'm doing. There's so much correct prophecies in the Bible that no one in the world can deny that God wrote the Bible now.
That's right.
Because you can see the year that the Holocaust is going to happen again, I mean, the Holocaust is going to happen in the book of Esther, in the 10 sons of Haman. And it gives you the exact year where 10 people are going to get hung again. So it's like, you think man wrote that? How did God know that 10 people are going to get hung and put the year 1946 or 1947 or 5707 in the text, in the jots and tittles in the text, telling you when the next 10 are going to be, the next time 10 people are going to be hung, and the original person tried to kill all the Jews, Haman tried to kill all the Jews, he dies, and his 10 sons. Hitler tries to kill all the Jews, he dies, and then his 10 henchmen. But it gives you the year it's going to happen. Now, if you tell me man did that, or you're telling me God wrote the Bible, that's what I'm trying to tell you. God wrote the Bible. Does all this news bug me? No. I don't care what they do. I don't even really watch it anymore. Everybody sends me stuff, but if I watched all that stuff, I'd be like in a white jacket somewhere. You know what I mean? Because it's like, God, everything that's going to happen to me. They're coming to get my kids next week. And the military is going to push me down and give me the vaccine. And it's like, it's so much. I just go, ooh, that's a good one. Ooh, that's a good one. But you can't watch all that stuff or read all that stuff. Only thing I'm concerned about is God's plan.
Yes. 10 minutes, Pastor.
Because the church has to leave. You're in the way. You have no idea. The body of Christ is in the way. In the way of what? Of the rescue of Israel.
Yes.
Israel needs a rescue. They're over there trying to pick a new Messiah since Trump failed them.
Yep.
They're like, God, that Trump thing fell through. Well, I got a guy that lives on the other side of Tel Aviv. You know,
he believes he's the Messiah. Let's grab him. We got to give the people Messiah, you know? And so Israel is completely still in blindness, okay? We're going to go over more of this tomorrow. Right. But I told you. Let's go to Romans chapter 11. Then we'll be done. I'm thinking sometime soon. Some people say second month is IR, 17th day. And the second month on the 17th day, the flood came. I say, yeah, but it wouldn't be the wheat harvest. And I'm like, I'm trying to stick with the Bible. They say, well, that is in the Bible. Yeah. So, okay, I'm going to hope with it too. Mm-hmm. But I know that a wheat harvest has to happen.
Yeah.
And since the first harvest happened exactly when he said in first fruits, and the second and the last harvest is going to happen when? At the end, in tabernacles. We already read that in Revelation. And so I know that the wheat harvest is going to happen when? At Shavuot, at the Feast of Weeks. So this is that's my big hope. I'm in Romans chapter 11, and I am in verse 25. Wish I could read the whole chapter, but I'm not. Here's Paul talking to the Gentiles. He says, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brethren, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles come in. That's why they're picking a new Messiah. Because they've been hardened, they've been blinded. God is the one who hardened them. God is the one who blinded them. Until that blinder gets removed, all they can see is the Messiah's gotta come and we get to pick him. And it's not Jesus. And I'm telling you, they really and truly believe this, okay? Now, it says this, Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles, eskomahi, right? Eskomahi, look at that come in word and go look it up in Greek in your blue letter Bible or lexicon or whatever. It means to travel and to enter into another city. It doesn't just mean to come into the knowledge of Jesus, okay? Which is what they told me when I was a kid. Oh, it doesn't mean when the last person comes into the knowledge of Jesus and they get saved, then this is what's going to happen. No, the word is going to tell you what it means. This is why you do word search. This is why you study to show yourself approved. Because that's a Greek word that means until the full number of Gentiles travel and enter the city. Okay? It says, to the full number of the Gentiles, eskomahi, and it says, and so all of Israel will be saved, as it is written. But when? It says, Israel has experienced a hardening until the full number of Gentiles leave here and enter the city. And so all of Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come from where? Zion, that's in heaven. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob, that's Israel. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account. But as far as the election is concerned, they are loved on the account of the patriarchs. God made a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that these people are going to multiply and they're going to be saved and God is going to take care of Israel. But until the Gentiles leave and enter into the city that I built for you, you're in the way. I can't take the blinder off them until we get the Gentile church out of here. This is the whole reason for pre-tribulation. You understand? Mm-hmm. There's no other doctrine in the scriptures. You can talk about it, you can debate about it, but it doesn't exist. The church leaves first because it has to. Then the earth turns back to 360 day years. Israel turns back to sacrificing and trying to be Jews once again until they realize the guy they elected or chose from Uncle Vinny's house is not the Messiah. I don't even know where they got this guy from. Have you guys seen this? They just picked a guy. I don't know where they got him from. And they took him to the wall and they're touching him and kissing his hand. I'm like, what happened to Trump?
Right.
He's so quick to just switch over. I laugh, but I realize they're blind. I'm glad God didn't blind me.
Amen.
Because you know what? That's a hard thing when you can't understand simple things. Simple. Like I told you, I talked to a Jewish guy. He says, I said, Jesus Christ died on the 14th of Nisan. He goes, wow, that's the same year we left Egypt. I mean, that's the same date we left Egypt. I said, yeah, he was the Lamb of God, paid for our sins. He says, that's what we use the Lamb for, to pay for the sin. So I'm like, I'm waiting for him to go, wait a minute, is Jesus the Messiah? Through the whole conversation, he's like, yeah. And he goes, okay, bye. I'm like, he didn't get none of that.
None of it.
God has blinded them because they're doing what God told them. They have been chosen to guide history.
Yes.
So that everything will lead up to the Gentiles having a Messiah, because somebody has to request that he dies, because the king was about to let him go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I find another wrong fault in him. Let him go home. Then the Jews come up and say, no, crucify him, right? If they don't do that, oh, I'm in a mess.
Yep.
You mad at him, I'm like, y'all some good people. I really appreciate what you did for me out there, because if you didn't, and Jesus was like, thank you. Because Jesus came for that purpose.
Yes.
So I'm like happy about it. Don't ever, as a Gentile believer in Jesus, say, I don't like the Jews for any reason, because they provided a Messiah through the plan of God.
Yes.
And we got to get out of here. And we're after the 6,000th year. Now we're after the 120. We are so in line for a big day that I just said, Pastor Ben, I'm still having fun. Something is about to happen. And so I want everybody to be encouraged. If you got your Bible study, we're going to go through the Bible study tomorrow. But tonight, God wanted me to teach Revelation chapter 14. And so we'll see you guys tomorrow morning for Rashawn Messianic Bible Club. And that is it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.